Again, I'm Gail Bentley, and my colleague Betty Daniels, who is the partner with this project, is here with us. And my other two colleagues who were critical in the simulation experience that we designed for our nursing students are Peter Way, who brings the background of military mass casualty expertise, and Lori Schumacher, who was the director of our simulation center. And I will tell you that the Medical College of Georgia is changing their name. So as of February, we will be called Georgia's Health Science University. So it's a better reflection of our college as the Health Science University. So you see different things coming from Georgia. There are no relationships to disclose from the presenters. As faculty, we totally accept our responsibility that it is important that we prepare our nursing students for the possibility of disaster situations. Now, in Georgia, feeling a little protected, we're about 3 or 4 hours from the coast. We do live near Atlanta and talk about bioterrorism, and we have a lot of history that we discuss with our students, but we feel a little protected from disasters. So historically, as faculty, we have been textbook teachers of disaster preparedness for our nurses and our graduates. And a couple of years ago, Betty and I said, you know, there's got to be more to it. We want the lived experience, immersion learning. So what we're going to share with you today is a teaching strategy that we designed a few years ago for our nursing students to be a little more creative and to get all aspects of understanding what it would be like to have a mass casualty experience. So, of course, we look at the standards of care, we looked at our credentialing agencies and all the recommendations to help guide us, but our real question was, how are we going to prepare students for a probable practice event in their lifetime that has unpredictable physical, psychosocial responses? So it was those unpredictable situation that we wanted to prepare. We had used case studies, we had done scenarios, but we were now going to use the world of simulation with our preparedness. Starting this process, we did, of course, include the classroom preparation. So in the classroom, we used a variety of resources to look at public health risk, the roles of the different emergency care workers. Triage principles was probably the most fun for the students. They really liked making those kind of decisions. Looking at personal protection and the psychological reactions. Some of you may be familiar with Vanderbilt's nursing curriculum of emergency preparedness. So we did use some online resources and have them do some of those modules like the tipping point, where they kind of walk through an emergency or a mass casualty event. So we prepared them in the classroom. We also had a few students choose to do their public health community assessment project on looking at our community. We took two counties and looked to see what were the risks, what were the potential for a mass casualty event in our community. They interviewed key informants, anybody in town or with the Fort Gordon Military Army Base, to talk about the different roles, what resources were there, and what things that our community knew and had available to them. So we had, again, more information. They went and found out things specific for our community. This resulted in some class time toward group discussion. So we wanted them to kind of start assimilating or pulling together some of the ideas and look at the challenges that may occur if they were one of the nurses that would be working or involved in a disaster or a mass casualty event. So they could easily talk about safety, food, shelter, special need populations, the roles of nurses in shelters, rationing, and the thing that we still were lacking was the decision-making under pressure, again. So that reinforced our interest in having a simulation experience. So we designed a mock disaster. Again, a few months of planning, pulling in our expertise, and our School of Nursing is very near a train track. We wanted our first scenario to be something that wasn't too personal, so we designed a scenario of a train crash right near the school, and there were some gases on the train that were going to cause a lot of problems, as well as the trauma, the actual trauma. So the faculty designed role-playing cards that we gave all of our victims, and so they either had a pneumothorax, a head injury, or some coughing, some respiratory problem. So we had scenarios for all of the victims. The victims were our junior nursing students. These nursing students had been in school about 3 weeks, so they knew very little except they could role play. We had some real actors. So we oriented them with the cards and helped. We had faculty, of course, that were there at the site to help the students with their role. The faculty leaders, we had about five or six faculty leaders that were experienced in emergency preparedness that were stationed on site to provide some cues as needed to help the victims and to help with the flow of the event. Let's see. We also recruited our emergency management experts in the community and from the military base to do the moulage. So that was made it even more real. So our victims, our junior students, all had, you know, all the blood and gory. So it was quite a realistic looking event. It was kind of scary, actually. We also had a few of the faculty bring in their family members. So we had some elderly victims, and we had some infants and children that were, well, I think a two-year-old was probably the youngest, but we had a pretty realistic population lifespan. The leaders, the nurses for this activity were our clinical nurse leaders students, who are our second degree students, and they were about 4 or 5 months from graduation, because we recognized that they needed to pull in multiple skills in order to be able to manage this experience. We took the CNL students and we divided them in two groups. 15 would be on the scene and making the decisions on the scene, and then 15 would be in the simulation center, which was turned into our mock emergency room. So they had some roles. With faculty kind of guiding the experience, we had all the junior victims emerging on the scene with all of the role playing, very realistic. Either 2 to 10 victims would arrive at a time, and that then our CNL students would do the assessments, the triage, using the yellow, red, and black principles. Faculty did very little other than observe and supervise to make sure everybody was safe and doing things were rolling. The thing that happened within the first 15 minutes was chaos, and that was exactly what we had hoped. It was better than we had anticipated. So the crying, the yelling, the where's this, and then, of course, it started to pour down rain. So it was quite a day. Again, and the victims, again, we had, slowly but surely, we had about 100 victims on the ground in various stages of triage. And then we had a transport team that would take 2 to 10 victims at a time over to our SIM center, which was about 100 yards from the site. And this is just a picture of the craziness in the mock emergency department that was slowly filling up with patients. Our CNL students were the ones here that were one. Anyway, we'll see, to be continued. The students were making decisions on triage status, the care delivery, and resource utilization. So right there on the site and in the emergency room, they were quickly having to make some decisions. Once they were into the simulation center, the patients, we did use Stan, for the codes. We did have faculty in the emergency department that were saying, this patient is now coding, this is happening, and the students, you know, as with simulation, things would either get better or worse depending on the faculty's decision at that time. So you can see it was quite chaotic. We had about 8 rooms going in the mock emergency room, as well as a psych room in which some of the victims and families were now needing a nursing assistant to take them out off the scene to keep things rolling. Real life victims and noise. Oh, and we also have Noelle arrived. Noelle is the mannequin, what do you call it? I'm blanking on the name. The mother who has the pregnant mom. So here in an emergency room filled with disaster and mass casualties, Noelle arrives in a wheelchair ready to deliver her baby. So that did occur. A baby was born during our mass casualty event as well. So after about 2 hours, we stopped the mock code, stopped the mock event, gave everybody about a 30-minute break. We switched roles then. We didn't process yet. We switched roles. We had the CNL students that were in the emergency department go to the scene, and the scene leaders went to the emergency department. And then we did the entire event again. We pulled all the juniors back and redid the entire event. 2 or 3 victims coming in every 15 minutes, triaging, and we wanted to see if they had that second time experience, would they think through things differently? So it was a very chaotic as well in the new roles, but they assumed their roles quicker the second time. After the whole experience, which took about 4 hours total, we pulled all of the victims and all of the students into a classroom for a post-analysis review. Lessons learned from the students. Some of the clearest lessons that the students learned was communication is critical. They found themselves yelling and screaming, not knowing who was doing what, who was the leader, especially the first time. So they realized that, hey, we hear the message that you must know your policies of your hospital, you must know who's in charge, and they loved the idea at the second time of having signs, I am the leader, I'm making decisions. So those kinds of communication processes, we spent a lot of time talking about ways to make that better. Again, every one of them said the first thing they will do on their new job is find the policy on disaster protocols, because it's more than just orientation. This made it real, that if it does occur, you don't really have time to go look for that policy. Prioritizing and resource allocation. These things did occur, especially in the emergency department. They would say, we are out of all X. What are you going to do? So they're like, we can't be out of that. Yes, you are. We've seen 200 people. You're out of this. So they had to stop and rethink and borrow and send people. They looked at staffing issues. We need more people. We need less people. Who's making these decisions? So it gave them the opportunity to see it from the staff nurse perspective, but also recognize all the many decisions that need to be made and in place. Some of the comments that we heard during the post-analysis review was reflection on it at the personal experience, the chaos. They talked about the distraction from the noise, the babies crying, the family members wanting information, and how that was really made it difficult to make quick decisions. The need for quick, critical thinking. Often they would say, I didn't know what to do. I had no one to ask. It was up to me to decide my next step. And they learned you just make a decision and go with it, and you can't look back. So that was very difficult. And of course, with the first group, they were mainly asking faculty, is this a red? Could this person survive? Those things that, of course, they didn't know. And we just said, make a decision. So it certainly, with simulation, was a very safe environment for them to try out those decision-making skills. Assessment skills, they quickly, the preparation for this was none. We didn't tell them the type of victims they would see. We didn't tell them to be prepared for respiratory gases and how those, what signs and symptoms were for that. But it was like, who are you going to ask? Just look at the facts, the symptoms, and decide. Delegation skills and decision making. Of course, in the chaos, that was a primary learning outcome. Other comments. Things happened so quickly. It's just they kept coming. The people kept coming. Noise, crying, shouting. Teamwork. It came together after the initial chaos, and we started assuming roles. Again, the repeated same disaster ran a lot smoother than the initial one. Wondering if I made the best decisions. Again, those ethical and those thoughts that many of them lingered with and saying, somebody could have lived or died because of a decision I made. So it was quite an experience for them. I think that's it. One more. Recommendations. Our recommendation is that, yes, simulation can definitely enhance the attainment of the skills needed to be responsive in a mass casualty event and provide them with the thought processes and the lived experience in a very safe, realistic environment. It added that dimension of immersion learning as students responded to those unpredictable physical, psychosocial responses of all of the people involved in the event. So it was quite a success. Oops. All right, any questions? Okay. Oh, good. Thank you. Yes, and some of our students did do the shelter training after this. Yes. So it was a great opportunity.